This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A three-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited, thrilled, delighted to be here with you today on this wonderful Thursday. Today is going to be a little bit of a blend. We're going to talk some college football here coming up in a bit. We got a chance to catch up yesterday with Lance Leipold and Chris Klieman. We'll play that for you coming up in about 15 minutes. If you want to hear the head coach of the Wildcats and the Jayhawks, just stick around. We'll play that for you here coming up in a bit. We also are going to catch up with the doctor. Dr. Jesse Mortis is going to be on the show. We're going to ask him about D-Hop's knee. We're also going to ask him about Sky Moore. Now, Sky Moore was not on any injury report for the Kansas City Chiefs. Sky Moore also was a full participant in practice. Now he is having surgery. We will talk about that. We will learn more about what's going on. We're going to do that with Jesse Morris coming up in just a bit. We also got Thursday night football today between the Minnesota Vikings and the Los Angeles Rams. The World Series is right around the corner. Basketball is starting back up, so we are really excited here on 96.5 The Fan. We'll start with the Chiefs. We'll do that coming up in just a bit. But before we do any of that, you know I got to give you a chance to win a pizza.
Pizza time on The Drive, Carrington. Dial me up right now. Call number 6, 913-586-7965. They win a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York-style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They lovingly use 100% whole milk mozzarella, all organic tomato sauce, with locally grown fresh ingredients, all made by KC guys who both know and love pizza. They also have a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wine. So whether you're in the mood for, I don't know, a whole pie or just a slice or two, be sure to visit them now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need to make sure that you are listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends that if you want some of the best pizza in town and you're also excited about DeAndre Hopkins coming to Kansas City, the best place to celebrate that is with us right here on 96.5 The Fan. This is where I would like to start before we catch up with Chris Klieman and Lance Leipold. We're going to do that in about 15 minutes or so. There is a responsibility that has been assigned to each of the leaders on the Kansas City Chiefs, and I am going to tell you what that responsibility is. Let's start with Andy Reid. You're the one that's in charge, right? We have talked a lot about over the course of the last 5-6 years or so about how difficult this offense is and how tough it is to kind of hit the ground running. That is a reason why Rashee Rice got off to a slow start last year, why Xavier Worthy is off to a little bit of a slow start compared to some of the other rookie wide receivers in the National Football League. A lot has been made about this offense, how tough it is, the scheme, how difficult it is to learn, and how it usually takes you a little bit of time. Well, you know what the biggest benefit of starting 6-0 the way the Chiefs are and you being in the same division as the Las Vegas Raiders, the Denver Broncos, and the Los Angeles Chargers? The Chiefs have a bunch of time. Now, the Chiefs don't need DeAndre Hopkins to go out and have 5 catches for 125 yards and 2 touchdowns this weekend. They can have him on a pitch count, so to speak. He can play 10, 15, 20 snaps, learn the offense, and grow in his knowledge and understanding over the course of the next couple of months. But the person whose responsibility it is going to be to make sure that this player that you have just acquired, who has worked for every single place that he has gone, the responsibility to make sure that he knows the offense and he can execute exactly what you need, that lies on the offensive genius of Andy Reid. If this DeAndre Hopkins thing is going to work and you are not concerned with October production, you are not concerned with November production, it is about what you are going to do in December, January, and February. You have about 6 to 8 weeks to get that player ready. I don't care if D-Hop doesn't catch a pass this week. I don't care if he doesn't catch one on Monday Night Football against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But at some point this season, I think you would agree that the Chiefs are going to need a couple of plays from DeAndre Hopkins. Andy Reid, get him ready. I don't know if he has to stay after. I don't know if you need to spend some extra time in the playbook with him to help this learning curve that he is about to go through. But D-Hop has played with a lot of different coaches, a lot of different offensive coordinators, and he has had success in almost every system and scheme that he has been in. Can he have success in yours? It is your responsibility to make sure that he gets there. Let's talk about Brett Veach, because Brett Veach also was tasked with the responsibility. I would say that this has been the third crisis, so to speak, with the Kansas City Chiefs, and I use crisis in relative terms. Back in 2018, their defense needed help immediately. You guys remember, offense, one of the most prolific offenses in the history of the National Football League. Their defense, yikes. It was on the responsibility of Brett Veach. Don't blow this with your quarterback. You have the tough part figured out. Now it's time for you to fix all the other things. They went out and they made a trade for Frank Clark. It worked. They went out and signed Tyrann Mathieu to a deal. They retooled that defense in one offseason, and lo and behold, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl the next year. That was crisis number one. Crisis number two for the Kansas City Chiefs was the offensive line that they put out in the Super Bowl against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It was bad. Now, it was not all his fault. Injuries happen, and sometimes that is just the way the love goes, to quote Janet Jackson. But it was a crisis. It was a problem, and the Chiefs needed to fix it. And in one offseason, they went out and fixed it. They got Creed Humphrey. They got Trey Smith. They got Joe Tooney. They got Orlando Brown. I mean, they completely overhauled their offensive line like that. That was your job. The Chiefs have their third crisis right now. That wide receiver room is thin. I'm talking about real thin. Not all of that is your doing. Injuries, drops, things have plagued this wide receiver room over the course of the last couple of years, and specifically this year. If you were talking about healthy wide receivers, you don't really have a whole lot of them. Sky Moore just got placed on the IR. You have Xavier Worthy, Justin Watson, and Mecole Hardman. Those are your healthy wide receivers, and now you add DeAndre Hopkins into the mix. Because of how successful you've been, Brett Veach, you have the full and complete trust of this fan base. You guys will ride with whatever decision Brett Veach tells you. If the Chiefs go out and make another move, in Veach we trust. If Veach makes the decision that we're fine with the wide receivers that we have and we're going to wait for Hollywood Brown to come back, you will also ride with that decision. Brett Veach is in the ideal situation as a general manager. No one is going to question your decision. No one's going to question your judgment. If you want to be aggressive and go get Deontay Johnson, cool. If you want to sit back and maybe make a smaller move for a Darius Slayton or a DeMarcus Robinson, you are going to have the full support of the fan base, the full support of the organization, the full support of Clark Hunt. But your decision on whether or not you want to be aggressive and go get another wide receiver, maybe you want to make a move to get a corner to replace Jalen Watson, who probably won't play the rest of the way. Whatever you decide to do, the Chiefs will likely win or lose based on your decision and if you're right about this roster and where you are. Now, I always have to say this, but knock on wood, the Chiefs are probably going to have more injuries because you don't go from Halloween to President's Day and not have additional injuries to your football team. Is this team prepared after taking the attrition that they've had over the course of the first 6-7 weeks of the season? Are they prepared to deal with possible more injuries? And are they deep enough at certain positions to manage anything that can happen coming up? Well, there are not many times coming up after the next 2 weeks that you are going to have to strengthen your roster. It sort of is what it is. Once you get past November 5th, you are waiting on the waiver claim, and just given how good your team is, you're last in waiver claims. If there's a player that pops up on November 17th that the Chiefs want, I'm guessing that he's not going to be there for Kansas City. That someone's going to claim that player. You remember when they got Terrell Suggs, they weren't 32nd in the waiver claim. They were like 25th. Other teams claimed him, but you were ahead of those teams. You are undefeated right now. You are dead last in waiver claim, and you won the Super Bowl last year. Any decent player, I don't care if it's a corner, wide receiver, anybody that pops up, the Chiefs will not win that waiver claim if that is a player worth having down the stretch. Any contending team, every contending team, has a worse record than you right now, and they will have first claim to it. So, Brett Veach, it is completely on you with whatever you decide to do. The fan base is going to ride with you either way. Is this roster complete enough in your mind to make it through the next three and a half months to get back and win another Super Bowl? And lastly, there's a responsibility on Patrick Mahomes. Now, I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound a little harsh than I mean it, but Patrick has gotten a pass this week because of DeAndre Hopkins. He has not played well at all so far this season. Not by the numbers. He is currently 16th in the NFL in passing yards, and he has more interceptions than touchdowns. For the player that we all unanimously think is the best quarterback in the National Football League, he has not played like that really at any point this season. You got to clean it up. I'm not saying you won't clean it up, and based on everything that happened last year, I presume you are going to clean it up, but some of the reason that these games are a little hairier and dicier at the end than you probably want it to be is because their quarterback keeps turning the ball over. Now, are they going to clean those mistakes up? Is he going to get back to playing this superhuman, Superman level of football? Or is he just going to be what he was last year in the postseason? He wasn't always Superman, but he was smart with the football. He made right decisions. He made the right reads, and he didn't put your team and your defense in bad spots. This defense has saved the offense's hiney way too many times this season. The reason they are undefeated is not because of Patrick Mahomes. It's not because of Travis Kelce. It's not because of this offense. They are undefeated because they have the best defense in the National Football League, and their defense just doesn't allow other teams to score. And eventually, when the offense chips in and gives you the 21, 24 points, that is usually enough for this team to go out there and win. So there is a responsibility on Andy Reid down the stretch. There's a responsibility on Brett Veach down the stretch. There's a responsibility on Patrick Mahomes to go out and do something that no team in the history of the NFL has done before. Coming up on the other side, we're going to switch it up a little bit and talk some college football. Lance Leipold will be on the show. Also, Chris Klieman. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Here we are, smack dab in the political season.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we're going to do this segment a little different. I got a chance yesterday to catch up with Chris Klieman and Lance Leipold. We were going to play it yesterday, but with everything happening with D-Hop, we made the decision to hold it off until today. I'll play my conversation with Chris Klieman first. We'll play that here coming up in a bit. Rob, let's spend a little bit of time talking about K-State. K-State has had the benefit of the schedule gods. I don't say that as a knock towards K-State. College football is a combination of a lot of things. It is a combination, obviously, of coaching. It is a combination of talent. A lot of the combination, too, is schedule, when and where you play teams. And right now, I would say that there are probably six teams that still realistically have a chance to play for the Big 12 championship. BYU and Iowa State, those two teams are 4-0. K-State has obviously lost to one of those teams. They play another one of those teams. Of the remaining teams, K-State is in that conversation. K-State doesn't play them. They also have Cincinnati. They play them later at home, and they've already beaten Colorado. So it has been sort of a mixed bag of you either play this team or you don't play this team. If you were looking at the K-State schedule the rest of the way, after this week against Kansas, they go on the road to play Houston. Houston is one of the worst Power 5 schools. They have Arizona State and Cincinnati at home. And then you go on the road and play Iowa State. Now, I am not 100% familiar with all the Big 12 tiebreaker rules. And it seems like somebody is going to be mad at the end of this season because somebody's not going to play somebody. And that's ultimately going to end up being a problem when it comes to the tiebreaker scenario. But there is no reason for K-State to not get through this next month of games. And heading into December, they have a game on the road against Iowa State that should determine if they have a chance to compete for the college football playoff or not. It would be a major letdown and disappointment, A, if K-State loses to a team in KU that they have beaten since Obama's first term. Houston is terrible. And if they lose a home game to Arizona State and Cincinnati, K-State should get through this next month and should be heading to Ames with everything right in front of them.
I mean, it's a win or go home in Ames at this point. Like, I'd love to be on here and tell you, oh, Kansas is going to get them this weekend, but they're just not. They never do. And Arizona State and the other game you mentioned, Houston's terrible, but Arizona State being back in Manhattan is a huge win for the Cats. This season for all three schools was met with big expectations, big thoughts, and it felt like, maybe just because this show has a KU and Missouri person on it, Missouri and KU fans were doing a lot of yapping. Hey, this is year's going to be special. Year's going to be special. Year's going to be special. K-State was even Steven, and yet again, under Chris Klieman, they find themselves heading into November with a shot at the Big 12 title game. And if you play in the Big 12 title game, you have a shot of either A, playing in the college football playoff, or B, being a conference champion and playing in the second round of the college football playoff. What Kansas State and what Chris Klieman have done is the model of consistency, and it's like the Chiefs being good. We find ourselves again, K-State, in the midst of a Big 12 title race.
I know, and we'll play Chris Klieman here coming up in a little bit. I don't think that K-State has gotten nearly enough credit for the last couple of weeks. Colorado is actually good. It is funny because we spent more time talking about Colorado when they were bad than when they were good. This Colorado team is one of the top 25 teams in the country. They have been very viable and very competitive. They are still very much in this thing. K-State went on the road and beat that team. And to follow it up, think about the course of the last 2 weeks for K-State. They went to the Mountain Time Zone and played a late night game against Colorado, and then to turn around and do the exact same thing in the Eastern Time Zone playing against West Virginia. Two really impressive road wins for K-State, and now you get to come back home, and now you got to take care of business, so this could be a potentially really, really special season. We talked to Chris Klieman about this, the head coach at K-State. My first question to him was talking about his team finding so much success on the road in Morgantown.
Resolve. Battling and handling adversity. We played in two really tough environments at Colorado late at night, and that place was electric, and found a way to get a win late, and then to travel again across country, this time to West Virginia. Another great atmosphere. We started pretty fast with an interception for a touchdown, had a lull in there, and then had a really good second half. You know, the fact that we've been doing this on the road the last 2 weeks and getting home, you know, 6 a.m, 4 a.m, guys finding a way to win. And I think we're getting better and improving as a team.
I was just going to ask you that. I mean, you go from playing a game in the Mountain Time Zone and then you go to the Eastern Time Zone against West Virginia and you play that game at night. You talk about having your team prepared for any situation, and they performed very well the last couple of weeks.
And it started at about 9:25 Central, and you know, we didn't get that game over till close to 1 o'clock Central Time, and it was a late night, but it was a great atmosphere, and our guys played really hard and physical, and found a way late to get that done, and then, you know, try to recover the guys' bodies, you know, from Monday through Friday, before we go to Morgantown, because you get home at 6 in the morning, it takes a while to get your body back. So we did a good job coming up with different ideas to get our guys' bodies back, and then we go out to Morgantown and play that at basically 8 o'clock Eastern and get home late again. Hats off to our leaders and to the captains for making sure that the guys focused on the task at hand, and that was the 60 minutes of football, no matter what time you played.
Coach, I've noticed a lot of growth in Avery's game over the course of these last couple of months as he gets more opportunities, more reps. What growth have you seen in your starting quarterback?
I think you hit it on the head, opportunities. And, you know, when we came into the season, he had started one game, and that was a Pop-Tarts Bowl. And so I knew that between Avery and a relatively new offensive line, not necessarily inexperienced, but a new offensive line, it was going to take a while for those guys to gel. And the more pictures that Avery's seen pre-snap, post-snap, the more comfortable he's gotten, the more that we've been able to have some success rushing the ball with Dylan and with DJ, it's opened some things up in the passing game. And I thought last week was a great indication of that. West Virginia put everybody up there and said, you're not running the football against us. And we had to go to a drop back passing game. And I thought Avery was on point. He was really comfortable. He was calm. He saw the field really well and did a really good job throwing the football.
Right now, we're talking to the head coach of the Kansas State Wildcats in preparation for their game against KU. I've talked to enough football coaches to know that you might be impressed with the passing game, but all of you deep down love to be able to control the line of scrimmage and run the football. I mean, you have multiple guys averaging 6 yards a carry. DJ Giddens, to me, might be the most underrated player in the country. He has been phenomenal for you guys. Avery has filled in the running game very well. Dylan Edwards coming over in the transfer, he's been very good. You guys, once again, just continue to run the football effectively.
Well, we need to be able to do that because it sets up everything else and allows us, you know, keep a defense fresh. And, you know, it's a staple of what we do. But that's why last week was so important, is when you take that away, to be able to throw the football. So then maybe it softens some people back up so that we can be a balanced attack. And that's what we want to be, is balanced. And I'm glad you hit on DJ Giddens. I think and have thought that he was going to be one of the best running backs in the country, not just in our league. And he's proven that out with how he's played, whether it's home, whether it's on the road. He's played at a really high level. And it's, you know, not just rushing the football. He had a 60-yard pass reception last week. He's got really good hands. And then you add Dylan to the mix that can beat you rushing the football in the return game as well as catching the ball. It's fun to be able to have as many people that we can go to run the ball. And then we're doing some really good things throwing the football with wide receivers and tight ends.
Right now, we're talking to the head coach of K-State for a couple more minutes here, Chris Kleiman. I got to ask you a question about the defense before we get to the game. I mean, this is a defense that has only allowed one team to score more than 21 points over the course of the last month and a half or so. Your defense is playing very well as well.
Yeah, we're starting to play better. We're starting to gel. You know, we're healthy up front, and we play a lot of guys on the D-line, and that has been really big for us to rotate guys. We're able to rush the passer. We're able to do a decent job of containing the run. But the biggest thing for us is we can't give up explosive plays. And when we did that early in the season, we were struggling against opponents, and we've kind of cleaned that up. But this is a game that I've got so much respect for Coach Leipold and KU, and they're an explosive offense, and we saw that last week, obviously, against Houston. And so we've got to do a great job of not giving up the explosive play.
Coach, I think I know what your answer is going to be just because we've had so many conversations over the year, but I'm going to ask you anyway. How do you keep guys focused on the task at hand, even though, I mean, every conversation I turn on ESPN, I turn on college football, it's about the playoff, and who's coming out of the Big 12. But you got to focus on week to week, and you see these losses, you see these upsets that are happening, and it seems like parity has sort of reigned supreme in college football. It's really hard to keep 21-year-old kids focused. How do you do that over the course of this final month or so of the season?
Well, it's definitely a challenge. You try to block out some of that outside noise, but you're also hearing it. There's no doubt about that. But we're only in October. We have a lot of football. We haven't done anything yet, and it's another opportunity for us to continue to grow and get better as a football team. Yes, it's a big game because it's KU and it's our rival. But in the same respect, we have to control what we do, and that's our preparation, our continued improvement in all three phases. We know we're going to face a really good KU team. They came off the open week and played really good football like I knew they would, coming off that bye week and got after Houston, and they're going to be prepared and ready to go. I think this is going to be a great four-quarter game.
Coach, how much this week of the message of what this rivalry is and what it means, how much of that message comes from you guys and the coaching staff, or your quarterback is from Kansas? He's seen this up close. One of your star running backs is from Kansas. They have been in the middle of this rivalry their entire life. Are they leading the charge this week and kind of setting the tone, or is that something with you guys from the coaching staff that you're trying to impart how important this game is?
Yeah, we let it happen organically. We talked about it on Monday at a team meeting, myself and a handful of Kansas guys, just to kind of clear it, say, hey, this is a big game. For both schools, both teams really good. The last couple of years, it's been a four-quarter battle, and then we left it at that. Now it's about, hey, what do I got to do to prepare? What do I got to do to learn our opponent? What do I got to do to learn the game plan so that I can play fast and free on Saturday night? And no matter what you say, you still got to line up at 7 o'clock on Saturday night. And so our focus right now is on the process and the preparation.
Coach, I'm guessing that Manhattan's going to be special. You got a rivalry. You guys have a chance to really have some special accomplishments this season. It's a night game. This game's on ESPN2. This feels like one of those special nights in Manhattan, Kansas.
Well, it will be, and we're excited that we're having a home game. It's been a month since we've been at home, and, you know, you let these K-Staters have a full day out in the tailgate lot, it's going to be pretty raucous in here. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we're hoping that we can capitalize off of our great crowd. And I know it'll be a great night and fun night for college football.
That is Coach Chris Klieman joining us on the show today. He is the head coach of the Kansas State Wildcats. They are ranked 16th right now. They are in contention to win the Big 12, and they got a big game this weekend coming up against KU in the Sunflower Showdown. Coach, good luck this weekend.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
That was Chris Klieman. We're going to play Lance Leipold here coming up in a bit. Rob, before I play Lance Leipold, what would you deem as success for the final five games of the year for KU? Because I'm looking at it, and it ain't easy. You got K-State, Iowa State, BYU, Colorado, so you play four bowl teams and four teams that are in contention to win the league, and then you go on the road and play Baylor in the final game of the season. This is a difficult stretch for the Jayhawks. What would you deem as success for the final five games of the season?
Being a five-win team. So I'm asking you to go 2-3 down the stretch, or 2-2 down the stretch. It's a tall task because you have multiple teams that are bidding for the Big 12 in there, but you preseason and you on the field talent-wise thought to be in the conversation you are now. Things have not gone your way, but you can still play spoiler to Iowa State. You can still play spoiler to Colorado. Baylor is a very winnable game, and then you just got to find a way to get one of the K-State BYU grouping. If you finish 5-7, still a disappointment, but at least it feels better going into next year.
I want to play our conversation with Lance Leipold. It started with what went so well en route to their first Big 12 win over Houston.
Again, I'm really proud of the way this team has hung together and kept fighting through some tough times. You know, we struggled to put four quarters together of winning football for quite a few weeks. But this group didn't blame one another. The locker room was never fractured. They continued to work hard, and we were able to do that against Houston. And now we get ready for this showdown against an excellent football team Saturday in Manhattan.
Coach, how do you guys take what you did well against Houston, and how do you apply that for your remaining five games left on the schedule?
Well, we got to continue to you know, work on sustaining you know, our best level of football, especially when our best is needed. You know, that has been some opportunities we let slip away at getting stops when we needed them. You know, we needed to get, you know, convert some first downs or score touchdowns, and we had to settle for field goals. There's a lot of little things that prevented us from winning football games there early in the season. And now we've got to make sure we focus and continue to capitalize on those things, take care of the football well, which we've done the last couple of weeks, and create some explosive plays on both sides of the ball.
Right now we're talking to the head coach of the Kansas Jayhawks, Lance Leipold, in preparation for their matchup against K-State. Where is Jalen at from a physical and a mental standpoint? You kind of mentioned the layoff. We know that he's had some physical troubles over the course of the last couple of years. I mean, he was great against Houston. He threw for 247 yards, three touchdowns. He ran for 50 yards and another touchdown. This was the Jalen that many people expected to see coming into the year.
Yeah, I think right now mentally and physically he's at his best that he's been in a very long time. He's had, you know, just the regular post-game early in the week soreness that a guy will go through on a regular basis. It hasn't really prevented him from missing much of any team reps on Mondays. Mentally, I think the thing that has impressed me about him, even though he knew he wasn't playing at his best, he never had excuses, he never blamed, he never second-guessed what we were doing. I asked him, brought him in, had multiple talks with him about where was he comfortable with what we were doing. Was there things that he would like to see us add or delete? And he was completely on page with the coaches of what we were doing. And he just felt that he needed to execute a little bit better as well as we had to holistically as a team.
This is, to me, a matchup of two of the better running backs in the country heading into this weekend. You got Giddens on the K-State side. You guys have a great one in Devin Neal. This, to me, is going to be a matchup of who can control the line of scrimmage, who can effectively run the football. And I think, ultimately, that's going to tell us who wins on Saturday night.
I would have to agree. I think these are two excellent running backs. Giddens is definitely somebody who's kind of burst on the scene with steady performances over the last couple of years. He's a big back with great length, but he's got deceptive speed. He's very physical. He's got excellent vision. Very impressed with how what he's done and how they utilize him. Of course, they have a great change up in Dylan Edwards and a way to use him in many multiple ways as well. And Avery Johnson is always a running threat himself, as we feel Jalen is for us. But, you know, Devin, we feel, is a special back. He's been so really dependable for us in so many ways. His numbers speak for himself. And, of course, we'll need a big day from Devin Neal for us to have a chance to win.
How difficult is it on you guys defensively when you're going against a team that can run the ball with so many different rushers? Talking about a team in K-State that's got Avery Johnson who can run it from the quarterback position. He's also a threat to throw it for 300 yards. You've got DJ Giddens. You got Dylan Edwards. Like, you got to handle three very separate, very different style of running back, so to speak.
Yes, we do, and they're so explosive, of course, and their passing game fits very well right off of it. I think Connor Riley has done an outstanding job taking over for Colin Klein as the coordinator and play caller. You see them utilizing the tight ends as well as their receivers on the outside and explosive plays and getting the ball down the field. And that's one of the things that happens when you're a good football team. You can utilize your play action passes and have complimentary throws off the run game that day, and they do an excellent job with that. And, of course, anytime there's a pass play called, if something's not there, when you have an athlete like Avery Johnson, you've got to make sure you can have somebody spy the quarterback enough to try to slow down a quarterback scramble in big game.
Right now we're talking to the head coach of the Kansas Jayhawks, Lance Leipold, for a couple more minutes here, getting his thoughts on KU as they get ready for their game against K-State. Coach, I do want to get you your opinion on this. How do you mentally prepare your kids for what they're about to go into? This is a very important rivalry game. Some of your players know this very well. Jalen's been around. Devin Neal has been around. But you also have to impart this wisdom on some of the new players, freshmen, transfers, etc. How do you kind of communicate to them over the course of the next couple of days how important this rivalry is and what it means to not just you guys, but what it means to the entire state of Kansas?
I think everyone kind of through their football careers, whether it be high school or other stops along the way, have a rivalry game. I think everyone knows the importance of what that does to state bragging rights and how it can impact recruiting and the future of programs. As I've always said, I think our guys go, we know we're playing a very good football team, a ranked football team, and one that we have a lot of respect for. And that'll speak for itself to go on the road into their environment and make sure we play our best football to date. I also think that, you know, last year's game, we were able to come away with confidence that we can match up with a K-State team. We thought we had them on the ropes, and we let it slip away. Credit to them for taking the game over. and creating explosive plays and taking the lead on us. But I think we walked off that field highly disappointed, but at the same time knowing that we've continued to close the gap on them.
Coach, I'm assuming that is motivation enough. Like, you don't have to go through a history lesson. I would just show your players the last 5 minutes of last year's game, man. We can beat these guys. We had this game won last year.
Yeah, I think there's some signs there that when we play our best, that we can play with a lot of people, and we need to do that. And I think our past of this season, the scars of defeat, of not playing our best, is one that we continue to learn from, and I think this team will be eager for kickoff on Saturday night.
Coach, last thing here, how often are you getting updates on the stadium? I think a lot of people are excited to see the progress, excited to see what the new stadium looks like next year. How often are you getting updates on how things are going?
Well, I don't get a ton of updates, and we're some meetings here and there, but we just walked off the practice field here a little bit ago and walking by and see the progress made each and every day. The concrete is finished being laid in the upper deck now, so all the concrete's there. You can see them working. You come in early in the morning and the stadium lights are on because they're working early, or they're working late into the night. It's really been an impressive project, and we're excited about the future of Jayhawk football and David Booth Kansas Memorial Stadium renovation.
That is the head coach of the Kansas Jayhawks, Lance Leipold, getting you ready for the Sunflower Showdown this weekend on the road in Manhattan against K-State. Coach, good luck this weekend. We appreciate your time.
Thanks again for the opportunity. Rock chalk.
That is Lance Leipold joining us on the show. Coming up in just a bit, something suspicious happened earlier today. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Now, I'm well aware of what I said about Deshaun Watson. But that is an isolated, different case. I'm not here wishing injury on these guys. I'm not wishing harm or negativity on any of these individuals, regardless of how you play. I want everybody to be happy and healthy. So I don't want you guys to confuse my thoughts on Mr. Nasty Man and think that's how I feel towards everybody else. No, that is just for that particular one individual because he's sick. But today, I see the tweet come across that everything's official with DeAndre Hopkins. You want to know how I know everything was official with DeAndre Hopkins? He talked to the media today.
Very important. I think I've done a lot, all the accolades that I can accomplish as far as personal. So I think, just playing meaningful football in January is, what's left on the list.
So DeAndre Hopkins, everything was official. Then I went around, and Rob, I'm still looking at a couch. I'm getting close to making my decision on a couch. And then I got my phone, and I saw that Sky Moore was injured. And I was thinking, hold on. Sky Moore has not been on the injury report at any point this season. He has been a full participant in every practice that they've had. He was a full participant in yesterday's practice. Now he's having surgery. Interesting. Now, I don't want to speak out of turn, but this feels like a Tyler Bray situation to me. I got to call shenanigans on this one. You know what I think happened? I think the Sky Moore was getting ready to practice earlier today. He's probably talking to Mecole Hardman or talking to Justin Watson. You know how it is at work. You're kind of having fun with your coworkers. You're having fellowship. You're mingling. I think Brett Veach, who never goes into the locker room, I think he went down there today. I think he saw Sky Moore just listening to music, just having a time. I think he tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Hey, big dog, come holler at me when you're done." Yeah, boss. Yeah, I'll be there. I think he walked over there, and I think he delivered the news. Hey, we're going to need that roster spot, man. What's been bothering you lately? You know, I have been having some. That's it. You don't even got to tell me. Don't even finish. I don't want to know. Plausible deniability. Don't tell me. That's what's wrong with you. Thank you. Then I think he went back and finished his conversation with the rest of the guys. I'm calling shenanigans here. Sky Moore has not shown up on any of these reports. Now he having surgery right when you get somebody that plays his same position. Interesting. Very interesting is what it is. That's not the only thing that DeAndre Hopkins came in to do. So DeAndre Hopkins got here. He got off the private plane. I saw the video here. He looked nice. He got off the plane. He took Sky Moore's job. And then I'm assuming in that same vein, in that same sweep, when Brett Veach was like, hey, big dog, come holler at me real quick. Hey, yeah, of course, man. What do you need? What do you need, Brett? I'm going to need that spot. I think whenever Sky Moore left, I think at the end of the conversation, I think Brett Veach said, hey, can you tell Justin something too? Can you get him for me too? Yeah, man, no problem. Yeah, of course. I'll get him for you. Okay, yeah, I'll be standing right here. I'm not going anywhere. You go get Justin too. And I think Justin was like, yeah, you need me? Yeah. It's nothing minor. I'm going to need that number, man. What do you mean? I've been wearing this number I wore it in college. That's the number DeAndre wants. I mean, we both went to Clemson. Maybe we can. I'm going to need that number, man. He said he wants to do it for Kobe. He said he was a big Kobe fan, Mamba mentality. We can't give him 10. That's Isaiah Pacheco's number. We didn't even ask Isaiah. He's going to use that number this year. We're not 100% certain that you're going to use that number 8 this year. I'm going to need that number, man. I don't think he gave the spot up as easily as Sky Moore gave up the spot. Sky kind of know what time it is. Justin was like, man, I got a new chain. It says 8 on it. Now I got to wear a different number. I mean, whatever you think is best for the team. Thanks, man. I appreciate you. I think Brett went on about his day. I then think he got a call from the Broncos general manager, and they're talking wide receivers. I think he went on with the rest of his day. Does that sound like what you think happened? Text line 913-586-7965. That is just my hunch. That is just my assumption, because something suspicious happened earlier today.
I mean, it's not the craziest theory I've heard, but it would surprise me if an NFL athlete just was like, I'm cool being iced down for the year. Like, even if DeAndre Hopkins was in town, you got to figure Sky Moore still thought, hey, there's a chance I play football this year. To volunteer to get surgery and be done just seems unlikely.
See, this is the thing. I don't think he volunteered. Someone on text line says, so you really think Sky Moore is getting surgery just to get it? I think Sky Moore is a football player, and I think you can always find something wrong with the football player if you look hard enough. And you can always find it. That's it. He plays football for a living. I think these guys are playing with things all of the time. You're telling me just yesterday he was fine and he's never had any issues, never come up. We've never talked about it. Now he's going under the knife. I think you said pick something. What's wrong? We need that spot. This happens in college all the time. Does it not, Rob? Hey, we need that scholarship. What do you mean? I've gone to class. We need it. I think you can find, if you want a reason to keep a guy around and not cut him, because they're not cutting him. Yeah, go in. Hey, you've been complaining about this. You've already been dealing with this. Let's just go ahead and get it cleaned up. Let's go ahead and get it worked out, and we'll bring you back here, and we'll see what happens. Because I'm guessing whenever Sky Moore comes back, if they want him back, another injury will happen, and they can find spot for him. They can find a spot for him if they want to. So, yeah, I think something was wrong with them. Just like you remember what used to happen to Tyler Bray. Tyler Bray would be perfectly fine. And then at the end of camp, something would just go on. Oh, we need him. Someone said, but why not cut him? Because they're thin at wide receiver. You don't have to cut him. You do not have to cut Sky Moore. They've already made the decision that Sky Moore has been here. They don't need to cut him. Do exactly what they did. Put him on the IR. He's out for the next 4 to 6 weeks. If you want to bring him back, you can bring him back. If you don't want to bring him back, he's still hurt. This is easy. You cut him without having to cut him. We can make the decision over the next 4 to 6 weeks. Who knows what's going to happen? They lose a wide receiver every week. They've lost a wide receiver 3 of the last 4 weeks on this team. I don't know if you can be getting rid of guys at this point. Certainly no plan to bring in more guys. So I understand why they didn't cut Sky Moore today. They just put him in timeout. That's what they did. They put him in timeout today.
The taking Justin Ross's number thing. I think that,
yeah, he took the man's number.
That's, hey, you're on the practice squad. You don't get to pick your number. I'm sorry.
He took the man's number.
You don't get to hold eight if this guy wants eight. Sorry. No thanks. I saw on Twitter he's now wearing 82. That's a fall from grace.
That's not a bad number, though. 82 is a good wide receiver number.
It's softer than eight. Eight strong.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm shocked they let him get a prime number like that. They let him get a prime number? Eight's a great number.
Well, I mean, they saw that one video they put out last year, and they were like, oh,
man, they got to get eight. Nah, you can't get eight, bro. If you Scott Moore, you got to get like 87, bro. You got to get one of them kind of numbers. 83. You got to get one. You got to get Danon's old number. You can't just be wearing eight. You can't wear a cool number like that. Nah, man. We're not letting you. You're not catching enough passes. If you're a wide receiver, your number can't be higher than the number of snaps you've played this season. That's not the way this works, bro. Nah, you got to give us that number eight, bro. That's not how this is going down. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, you know what, Rob? What I want to do is let's play sort of a combination of some of the national conversations about the Kansas City Chiefs. Everybody's been talking about the trade. We've cut a little bit of Cowherd, a little bit of this guy, a little bit of First Take. We've rounded up our favorite ones, and we'll play them for you coming up on the other side. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.